there's good and bad in all of us. And I'm just asking for all of us to use our good when I'm thinking of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace and outside of the workplace. So I am not pointing fingers at anyone, and I'm not seeking reward for this heightened awareness for women of color. I'm just wanting us to be kinder to one another so we can make America better.
This is Your Purposeful Life, and I'm your host, Adrian Starks. I'm a speaker, podcaster, narrator, writer, and entrepreneur. On this podcast, we're taking a different approach to the understanding of purpose because it's not a one-size-fits-all. There will be a variety of guests expressing their purpose through the human mess we call the human journey. These conversations will guide you to a better awareness and understanding of your unique purpose in the daily life of mistakes, changes, and challenges, and how to put that purpose into action, bringing you more experiences of success, fulfillment, and achievement on your terms. Let's go on this journey of purpose together. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Your Purposeful Life with Adrian Starks. Of course, I'm your host, and it is here where we are changing the conversation and meaning of purpose because it's not a one-size-fits-all, and we want you to help to shape your kind of purpose your kind of way. Today, I will have on a special guest, and her name is Michelle Starr, to the podcast and community. Michelle, how are you doing today, my friend?
Adrian, I am doing well. Thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to talk to you today, and I'm also excited to see you shine, just like your last name, Starr. I like that. I really do.
Thank you.
All right. So today's topic is going to be about the current status of America's employment system. And Michelle has had something she's been purposeful towards that has been allowing corporations to change in different ways. And I'm excited for her to share that with us today so we can all learn about this purpose and how we can further support. But before we do that, let's get some of this other stuff out of the way. I want you to go ahead and go to the Your Purposeful Life website. That is yourpurposeful.life. Go there and subscribe to this show and download it on any podcast platform. Follow us on our social media channels and go to the YouTube page and click that subscription bell with a purpose. And we'll be having weekly podcast episodes come out. So back to Michelle here, the person of the hour. Michelle is an experienced corporate professional with 25 years experience. Wow. She has a bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering technology. She's a certified executive coach, author, speaker, and diversity business trainer, helping chief functional officers build cohesive teams, lower attrition, and here's the key thing here, build revenue by interweaving inclusiveness in their organizations. And this is what this conversation is going to be about today. And I'm excited, Michelle, to have you on. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Adrian. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know what? I am glad to have you here because when I looked at your bio, I have to be honest, I was like, I have to get Michelle on the show because I truly believe that when we have something that we feel passionate about when it comes to our purpose, it becomes purposeful when we weave it into action. And what you have been doing is not only being active, you're causing other people to be active and not just say, well, yeah, you're right, Michelle, that's good. No, you want them to take the steps to create that change that you are creating. And I love that. So for the audience today, our listeners, what do you feel is the current problem with the employment system in America right now?
So as it relates to my mission, Adrian, the current problem today is that women of color, rather women of all colors, but specifically women of color, are not represented in these companies and organizations. And when we are represented, we're not fully supported to be our best and to give the company what they hired us for.
That's truly powerful. And there seems to be a lot of concern around that, this inclusive factor. And what caused you to focus on this issue? Like, was there a moment in time where you said, this is a problem and someone has to do something about it? Maybe it's going to be me.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, when COVID shut everybody down and forced us all to get on our keyboard, do Zoom, and just kind of react to the situation. We all started, or many of us started tapping on our keyboards and reflecting and bonding with family over the internet, because that was our only one of our main modes of communication. And while doing that, bonding with family, I start hearing a lot of old family stories. And then I was talking with old coworkers, and I start reflecting on my history in the workplace. And I start jotting notes of my experiences over the years. And I thought, I ought to put this in a book. So I start writing a book about my experiences. And I noticed I start seeing a pattern of good and a pattern of bad experiences that I went through. So I thought, why not share this with others? I'll research it and see if I'm off kilter or if I'm spot on with what I've noticed with my collected information. And I noticed that there was some patterns of behaviors that were not inclusive, and there were some patterns that were inclusive. And I wanted to speak on it and inspire and motivate others to act on it.
Wow, what a story. What is the name of that book that you said you started writing?
So the name of my book is called Be Brown Brave. And it's a guide for business leaders to learn how to support women of color in their workplaces.
I love that. Be brown, be brave. Ooh.
Be brown brave.
Be brown brave. Ooh, I like that even better. Okay, so be brown brave. And what I'll do is I'll make sure I put that into the show notes of this podcast so that our audience can go and find out more about that. You know, it's interesting, Michelle. I had a chance to look at your TEDx talk, and that was the title too. And one thing I noticed about you is your vulnerability on stage. As a speaker, I can attest that when I see someone who's truly speaking from the heart of the matter, that they really care, you can see it. And there were so many things that I pulled from that talk. But the thing that I really liked that you talked about was the scene where you were looking at your child. It was your son, and you were standing behind the dumpster, and you were wanting to be there for them and to show the support, but you didn't want anyone to see you. And you were just hoping that your son could be brave and be courageous. And when I think about that, it's like a metaphor, actually, because when we look at what you're doing now, you're encouraging us to be brown brave. But here's the interesting thing, Michelle, I've noticed. You're not standing behind the dumpster. You're standing in front of it, and you're saying, we need to be noticed. And I like that about what you're doing. So this be brown brave, can this be for anyone to support this cause that you're doing?
Yes, it's not only for business leaders. This is for every level in an organization and outside and across industries. I'm talking your senior level business leaders. I'm talking their managers. I'm talking white people as allies. I'm talking men of color. I'm talking women of color. There's a gap between the business leaders and us women of color that we're not understanding each other. We're not seeing each other issues. These business leaders are experiencing a disconnect because they have so much on their plates to manage. And if they adopt our perspective, they would see there's a lot of missed opportunities. But to back to your question, yes, this Be Brown Brave is for everyone. It's for all of us to really step out of our comfort zone and manage our biases towards others.
Oh, I love that. And I also like the fact that you, instead of throwing leaders under a bus, like some people would do, like, oh, they just don't care, or they just don't care about us, you said something very professional and respectful, and I like that. You said they have a lot on their plate. And I want that to be something that we all understand here when we're in our workplaces. A lot of times you have great leaders, and they just may not know what the heck is going on in the lower echelons of command. And the key is that they won't, because they have other priorities. But it doesn't mean that you can't be a priority. And so, Michelle, what you are doing here, shining the way that you are, you're making this become more of a priority so that it is on their plate and they see that it has to be addressed at some point. And I love also too the fact that there's benefits they can get from this by including yourself and women of color. And can you remind me of the stats? There was something you said in your talk about out of the women that are hired, there is like maybe 18%. I may be wrong, but please correct me on this. There's 17% of women of color, but out of that 17%, there's only 2% that end up in the higher echelons of the command in the career. That to me is very bothering. I think that that's a huge problem because first of all, like, where are they going? Why are you putting them here? So are those numbers correct or am I off, just so their audience can know here today?
Okay. Yeah. So you're in that bright area.
Okay.
According to today's statistics, white men hold approximately 62% of those senior level positions, with women of color only 4%. So that's a huge gap, which shows that this is a very urgent matter that business leaders, if they really want to address their bottom line, which we understand that's their job, that's their goal, is to protect that bottom line. If they really want to do that, then they would use and adopt all of the missed opportunities that they hire this skilled, talented, sharp individual to use and bring to the room. As of now, her opinions aren't getting shared. Her comments aren't getting echoed. Her decisions aren't being adopted. So they're missing this valuable, valuable information. And it stems from historical practices, it stems from legacy ways. And if they continue with this bravery that they're already in that position, which shows they are brave to do this, it's so hard. That's a perilous role to be in. And it takes a lot of bravery to be in that role. But all I need is for them to take that bravery and just have a brown perspective and say, okay, how should I look at this? How should I evaluate, analyze? And if there are a few tools and strategies that they could use to easily see how to better their business.
Great. And you provide these tools and strategies also. And we'll put your information, like I said, in the show notes of this podcast so that the audience can follow you and find out more about your teachings and what you're doing across the world when it comes to the corporations and making that change in management. And I like how you said too that to be brave and look at and take the brown perspective, because a lot of us, I guess, when, you know, it's interesting you said the history when I think about this, because you and I can talk all day long about this, the history of things and America. But I think that a lot of people are unconsciously not aware that a lot of their decisions and a lot of their mishaps of things are skewing from things of conditioning, social factors that were impacting them or have impacted them from teachings from other people that they're utilizing in these workspaces that's actually hurting them, hurting their business. And when I see a lot of business owners, I've talked to a lot of them in this podcast, you know, it's a numbers game. At the end of the day, everyone wants to be successful. They want to reach a certain mark in their revenue so they can live the life they want to live and live on purpose. But you have to have people to help you do that. You have to have a surrounding team. And if half your surrounding team is gone because you're not noticing that they're not there because of this, then you're going to be losing. So I like that you're bringing this to the forefront here. Michelle, what are some ways that business leaders can include women of color? I know that there's some businesses that say, oh, yeah, we include people. We have an inclusion thing going on right here. I hear that a lot. No pun intended to any of those businesses out there. But when you go behind the scenes, you're like, really? Is it really like that around here? You know, I don't know. So what are some ways that they can include women of color?
So there are many ways. And like you said, we can talk about this diversity till we're blue in the face. But I only want to focus on these business leaders and having people understand, yes, they're busy. And because they're so busy, they need to first be brave to review the statistics, understand that there's a true need for this unique level of awareness and support, And then be brave to accept guidance. And the guidance that I would suggest is hire DEI experts into your organization. Go through your policies and procedures and see how having another perspective with people of color relate and resonate with your current practice. There's things like initiating contact with the woman of color when she's in there. A lot of times we are invisible because we're the one in the team. We're the only woman, or we're the only person of color. So people overlook us. We're invisible. So hire us, first of all. There's so much. You can even, before even hiring, target recruiting venues that you have more women at, more HBCUs, more organizations that have more of us to pool as candidates to interview. And when you increase your recruiting, you'll increase your hiring. And when you increase your hiring, focus on those that support when she's onboarding. Focus on revising your performance appraisals. Those performance appraisals is a whole nother topic when it comes to her. But initiate contact with her. Include her. A lot of times she's not included in meetings inside the companies, and she's not included outside of the company during lunches, after hour sessions. So celebrate her small wins. Give her credit when she does add value. A lot of times her work is stolen by her white male counterpart, and extend and engage. That engagement is key. When they choose, and when the organization enables their white employees to feel comfortable engaging with people of color, especially as women of color, then calmer cultures will result. And those calmer cultures will cause us to support each other. And then we'll succeed, and it'll cause the business to scale and grow.
I like how you said that, you know, they lose a lot of their work to their white male counterparts. And this is what we call, you know, people taking credit for things that are not theirs. And I've had this happen even as a black male on jobs where, when I worked in the past, my 9-to-5s, it was like, I did this, and all of a sudden someone else is getting appraisal for this big change that's happening. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. That was my idea, and I'm the one to put all this together. And they're like, oh yeah, good job, Adrian. Good job. And then the other person gets the raise or whatnot. And so then it creates resentment. And then you have people in your business not wanting to work for you, or not wanting to give their full capacity that could actually bring you more revenue.
Yeah, so I just heard on a podcast yesterday, I don't know if you're familiar with a person named Minda Hertz. I think, I can't remember the other name, but it's called Brown Table Talk. And that Brown Table Talk podcast mentioned about some of us women becoming or being hired as a pet. And then later, when they see our true value, we become a threat. And that's when we lose that support. So, one of the things I wanted to mention is that these business leaders, when they're really trying to add value in our space, they can conduct employee surveys, do some anonymous check-ins to see what's really going on. Because, again, they have so much on their plate. And most of those business leaders who are white men are not knowledgeable about DEI. And they must be brave to admit that they're just not knowledgeable in that area. So they need to, again, hire, get their employees' perspectives and their sense of experiences, and then be brave and bold and act on it.
I like that. You mentioned DEI. Can you explain to our listeners today who may not know what that is? I know it's an acronym, but can you explain to them what that is, DEI?
Yeah, so diversity, equity, and inclusion talks about every gender, race, background, religion, socioeconomic. We can go on for days. It Yes. talks about everyone. Equity talks about fairness, having access when some groups just don't have that equal access to information. Inclusion talks about being supportive of those marginalized groups.
Thank you so much for explaining that to us. Michelle, what was a defining moment when you realized that something had to be done? There's always that moment. I call it the moment of inspiration or the moment of desperation, where you're like, that is enough. Thank you very much. I'm done with that. I need to figure something out here. I need to get some people together. We need to make some changes. Was there a defining moment for you where you had one of your greatest challenges and it just, you couldn't sleep at night? You were like, I need to deal with this ASAP. You don't have to tell me the name of the company. We're going to keep all that, you know, low key here out of confidentiality for people and respect. But was there a moment in time? Do you remember that where you were, like location wise, what age, what part of your career you were in?
So there are two stories that I could tell, but one of them was like a really jaw dropper.
Okay.
That one was, so like I said, I dealt with bad experiences, aggression in the workplace at many levels, from entry level on up to the C-suite. And there was a moment dealing with a C-suite member of the company that I was at, where this president came in to talk with the entire company. And while we're all sitting in an assembly, listening to him orate his plan for the business, at the end, they typically have a Q&A session. So I, Michelle, over the years have always asked for fairness for me, others on the plant floor. It just, that was my thing. Like, hey, you know, why can't we have this or why can't we have that? But at this particular meeting, company-wide meeting, I wanted to have him include in his plan for the business an improvement for DE&I. And I knew I just couldn't ask for it right out. So I attached it to segments of his talk. He talked to us for an hour, and I grabbed a few bullet points from each section of his talk and repeated it back to him during this Q&A, saying, hey, you talked about this, you talked about that, you talked about this. How about including DE&I? Because statistically, it shows companies fare far better, blah, 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 blah. He was like, wow, that was impressive. And yes, we'll do that. I say 2 business days later, I was called into the HR office and asked to do a random drug test.
No.
For performance enhancers.
What?
Yeah. Jaw dropper. I'm like, what? I did do it already. Like when I was hired, why am I doing it? So I had to leave the company immediately, go do a drug test. It came back negative, and I noticed support for me from my managers, coworkers, the support started dwindling. And that was the moment. It was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm trying to ask for something better that's going to help your company. And it was like, you know, that was one of those moments.
Well, like you said, the pet became the threat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. The things that people don't understand, some of us go through as human beings, and they think that it's all fairy tale, like, oh, that doesn't happen, or this doesn't happen. And it's like, no, these things happen. You're just not seeing it. And luckily for you, you don't have to experience it. But for those who don't experience it, it doesn't mean that you can't be a part of the solution to it. And that's what I like about the Be Brown Brave. And you said you had 2 stories, but one story is good enough if you're okay with just sharing that one. That was a really good example. And speaking of that, so that we can rise up and help more in these situations for other people of women of color who are struggling, who don't have the voice like you have or the courage to step up, we want to get them going. And you can do so much, but we also need other people, the allies, to do their thing too. So who can be Brown Brave? I know we said this before, you answered it, but I want to reiterate it again for the people listening so that you don't be like, oh, I'm not brown. Well, I can't do that. I can't be a part. Yeah, you can. So who can be Brown Brave, Michelle?
So thinking back over my career, I had great, wonderful experiences working with Procter & Gamble. And I would love for many companies to role model their behavior, which doesn't cost money. It's only a change in mindset. I saw, which I believe, that their senior leaders can direct allocated funds to support this unique level of awareness and support that's needed. And they can show their teams how to do it. The managers are the boots on the ground. They can execute immediately because of this urgent need to support the business, and they can do it enthusiastically as if their paycheck depended on it. And IT. IT is like the veins in every organization. They can route information supporting this new level of awareness and showcase celebrations for her and her allies. The men of color are already supporting women of color. And all I'm asking is for them to magnify themselves and assist others and show them how to do it.
And hear that, men? Do it. Magnify. Magnify.
My women of color, we need to continue supporting one another. When they have us in those underrepresented roles, it causes us to be more in competition with each other because it's just not that many. And it's historical practices has caused us to compete with one another. And that's that competitiveness, it doesn't add value. So women of color need to support each other more bravely and boldly. But more importantly, I want to say women of color, we're so stressed because we're just that most underrepresented group that we really need to take time out to take care of ourselves. Take care of us mentally and physically, because it's taxing and it's draining to be at work in corporate America. Take care of ourselves, trust in ourselves, and own our skills and talents. We are good at what we do, especially when we put our heart, mind, body, and souls into it. And really, all of us outside of organizations can be mindful and step out of our comfort zones and just become more aware of our biases towards others. We as people of color have our own biases, and we need to learn how to identify and manage them, as well as white people, as well as employees. We all. And then this is what, when we do that, we'll be able to become kinder to one another. And this world needs as much kindness as possible, and it can be done.
This world needs as much kindness as possible, and it can be done. That is what it's all about there. And the fact that you mentioned everyone who can be Brown Brave, there's no excuses for any of us out here to say that we don't have enough time, we don't have enough resources. You've got plenty of time, you've got plenty of resources. It's all about using them the correct way. This has been wonderful. Before we end this segment here, my last question for you today is, why have you chosen the Be Brown Brave as your current purpose for making changes here on the planet? I know we talked about some of the reasons why earlier, but I want to bring back once again that full circle of the purpose behind doing things.
Yeah. So like I said, there's good and bad in all of us. And I'm just asking for all of us to use our good when I'm thinking of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace and outside of the workplace. So I am not pointing fingers at anyone, and I'm not seeking reward for this heightened awareness for women of color. I'm just wanting us to be kinder to one another so we can make America better. COVID, unemployment, and this national racial movement that we had has forced us to be more cognizant of our neighbors. So there are many white men, Adrian, that are out there being brave right now who are not getting the level of awareness that they could. And I applaud them. I am asking them to reach out to their neighboring white men who are a little bit uncomfortable and not brown brave to act. And doing that will cause all of us to be a little more receptive to one another and more inclusive.
Beautiful. Well said. And that is why you are the Brown Brave champion and advocate. And we love you so much for that, Michelle. Thank you for your time today on the show. And I've learned a lot. My audience has learned a lot. And to everyone out here, let's be brown brave together. Let's take action. We'll go to the show notes here. I'll click on those links that I'll provide to you and start finding ways to support Michelle and also find ways to support the people around you. Michelle, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Adrian, for having me.
Thank you for listening to Your Purposeful Life today. And I'm your host, Adrian Starks. Download this podcast on any platform of your choice by going to our website, yourpurposeful.life. Join me on my social media channels and be a part of the Your Purposeful Life community. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that like button with a purpose. Let's help you shape your purpose your way.